crew. And I get a chance to be around a lot of Baptists, a lot of Baptist schools, a lot of Baptist institutions. And I am more excited about what's going on at Union University than any other place. I want to say thank you to the professors for all that you do here, the difference that you're making in so many lives. Today, as we begin our study, we're going to be looking, as you look on your outline, Joseph and the Original Desperate Housewife. How many of you have seen Desperate Housewives? Okay, none of your professors are looking. All right, anybody seen the show? Anybody seen any advertisements? Oh, come on, y'all. This is interactive. There you go. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you, I confess, I have not seen the show. I really haven't, but I do watch Monday Night Football. Did anybody see Terrell Owens and the Desperate Housewife episode? Anybody see that? Well, he didn't do so good with that Desperate Housewife, did he? In case you didn't see it, he was in the locker room. He was about to go out. The woman comes out in the towel, one of the stars of the show, and puts the move on him. She drops the towel, and that was the end. He was unable to say no. Today, we're going to be looking at dealing with sexual temptation. Our overarching thing for the next 3 days as we look at sexual purity will be 1 Thessalonians 4. I just want to read this, make a couple of comments, and then we'll look at our text for the day. Notice what Paul says here. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. And I want you to know that's my basic premise as I meet with you today. I believe that you are living to please God, that that is exactly what you're doing, and you want to do it more and more. That is your heart's desire. I realize that as I talk to the students of Union University, for the most part, you do love Jesus Christ, and you want to live a life of moral purity. That's exactly what Paul is saying here. He goes on to say, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, your holiness, and this is it, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. I want us, over the next few days, and I realize not everybody will be able to attend all the sessions, but I want us to talk about sexual purity and why that is important. And Paul says, I want you to learn to control your body. And when we talk about abstinence, I want you to know that it's not just saying no, it's saying wait. Wait for the right time, the right place. It's not just a matter of saying no, it's waiting for God's best. Well, with that in mind, let's talk about sexual temptation. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about what the Bible has to say about sex. And then on Friday, I'm going to talk about how to find a mate and what to look for. So just to let you know, we're going over the next few days. Well, in Genesis chapter 39, let's kind of jump into our story here. This is the story of Joseph. His brothers have sold him into slavery. He's been bought by Potiphar. The Lord has blessed Joseph in Potiphar's home. And Potiphar's wife, Mrs. Potiphar, the original desperate housewife, puts the move on Joseph, and Joseph is going to have to say no. And what I want to do is I want to walk through this story very quickly, and I want you to see how to respond to sexual temptation. If you don't deal with sexual temptation, you're welcome to get up and leave. That's what I thought. All right, let's deal with this, okay? Why is sexual immorality such a powerful temptation? Number one, it appeals to a God-given desire. Just write that. It appeals to a God-given desire. Now, are y'all always this quiet, or am I just a bad speaker? Is that what it is? I want you to understand, first and foremost, that God is pro-sex. Do you understand that? When God created sex, it was a good thing. And that's what I always, in teaching my children about sex, I never, ever, my parents never told me about sex. I don't know if Sam and Pansy ever told you about sex, David. My parents never told me about sex. I'm 47 years old, and I'm still waiting on my parents to tell me about sex. They just did. I don't know if you came from a home like that, but I was bound and determined that my kids at an early age would know that sex is a good thing. When God created man, he created male and female, and he said that sex was a good thing. In fact, when he created them, he said, this is very good. Let me tell you what happened. Didn't happen in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve got together and they had sex, I want you to know that the angel Gabriel did not run into the throne room and say, God, guess what they're doing now? Did not happen, okay? Sex is a good thing. Now, having said that, you need to know that human sexuality offers tremendous capacity for joy and a terrible capacity for destruction. God says, I created it, it is wonderful, but because I created it, it is my gift to you, and I get to set the boundaries. The boundaries for sex are one man, one woman, committed in marriage for life. Now, what I need to talk about for a few minutes is, what is sex? What is sex? I never thought that I would have to address any gathering, especially of people your age, and talk about what is sex. Is it just the act of intercourse, or is it something more? And I want you to know that there is a line where kissing and touching and even words move into the territory of sex. And in God's design, there are those activities which are reserved for marriage. I want you to hear something from Agape Press, a recent release. Research indicates that hooking up is becoming an increasingly common practice among young people today. I'm sure you're not surprised. The College of New Jersey defines hooking up as, quote, petting below the waist, oral sex, or intercourse between two people who have no intentions of further communicating with each other beyond their one-time physical encounter. Plugged In Online says this, Elizabeth Paul is the writer, she's a psychology professor, surveyed 555 undergraduate students and found 78% of them had hooked up at some point, usually following the consumption of alcohol. In addition, Paul found the average number of hookups per student in their college career was 11. And her findings parallel similar studies conducted by researchers at James Madison University and the University of Michigan, as well as claims made by author Tom Wolfe in his book, Hooking Up. Here's a quote from Wolfe. Quote, today's first base is deep kissing, now known as tonsil hockey, plus groping and fondling, this and that. Second base is oral sex. Third base is going all the way. Home plate is learning each other's names. End quote. Wow. Things have changed a lot. In fact, 36% of teens ages 15 to 17 admit to having oral sex, as reported by the Center for Parent Youth Understanding. However, half of these teens do not identify oral sex as sex, according to the 2003 surveys conducted by the Kaiser Family Foundation. Pretty wild. I know that even in Baptist circles, there has been a move for true love waits. Study done by the Northern Kentucky University, 61% of students who made an abstinence pledge broke them. And among the 39% who said that they had kept their promise, 55% of those indicated that they had engaged in oral sex but did not consider that a breaking of the promise. Something's weird, y'all. And this is what I want to say, and I've got a lot to cover, and we are going to get there. But just hear this. God created sex, and he created you, and you're not an animal. And you have been told over and over that you're an animal, that you can't control your desires, and here's contraceptives, and here's condoms, and you are just an animal. And I want you to know that God says you are created in my image. You are a person of worth and a person of value, and you are able to control your urges, and you can say no. If that's true, very quickly, let's look at this text. Number two, please write this, sexual temptation. It comes, and make this personal, it comes when I'm vulnerable. It comes when I'm vulnerable. It says, now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And when he was in the house of his Egyptian master, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his house and put him in charge of all that he had. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, kind of like me. Oh, hi, I know. One day, when he went into his house to do his work and none of the men in the house were around. Now, I want you to know, how old do you think that Joseph is? The Bible tells us. Do y'all know how old Joseph is at this time? He's 17. 17 when his brothers sold him off. Now, we don't know exactly how much time passes, but let's just say a year or two. He's 18 or 19. That's it. He's your age. And all of a sudden, he goes from being part of a dysfunctional family where they've sold him off. He has been a slave. Now he is basically the CEO of this wonderful household. He has arrived. And yet he's at a very vulnerable spot. You know what? You're at college now. Some of you are freshmen. Some of you have been here a while. But in some sense, you have arrived. And you are all by yourself. You know, there's something that happens when you get out on your own. It is a very vulnerable time. You know, you may be at college, you may be at a party, sometimes you may be on a trip. And there will come a time where you have a perfect opportunity, and this is a perfect opportunity for Joseph to fall. It's interesting when you read the story, I think that Joseph in his mind is tempted. He is young, he's good looking, he's handsome. This woman is older and bolder, and yet he is going to say no. We know the rest of this story. I need to ask you, do you understand how vulnerable you are? You know what goes through a lot of people's minds? I have been a pastor for a long time now, and there are people who think that they can step out of God's will. See, sometimes we'll be away from our parents. We'll be perhaps at a party. Maybe we will hook up. Maybe we won't go to the extreme that Thomas Wolfe talked about, but maybe this whole hooking up thing doesn't seem so bad. We'll get a little physical gratification, but we won't go that far. And after all, what's the big deal? And I'll step out of God's will just a little bit. And somehow we've convinced ourselves that we can step out of God's will, but we can step back in it when that's over and nothing changes. I want you to know that everything changes. See, people tell themselves I have a right to be happy or you know, we're in love, we can go ahead and have this, or it's just hooking up, it doesn't matter. It comes when you're vulnerable. Number three, it's always very persuasive. It's always very persuasive. Let me tell you, Mrs. Potiphar is not very subtle. After a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph. Now, Joseph was eye candy, okay? He was good looking. And said, lie with me. She called him by the garment and said, lie with me. And we'll look at that other verse in a few minutes. But twice, she just says, come to bed. What a pickup line. Just come to bed. Lie with me. Now, here he is. He's young. He's well-built. She's good-looking. Got a lot of money. And he could have listened to the wrong voice. He could have said, you know, her husband neglects her. He can't meet her needs like I can. Who will ever find out? You know, I know people that talk about, well, we're in a meaningful relationship. We love each other. We'll be married soon. And I guess the one that gets me, I have talked with many people over the years who've told me that God understands. God understands. Like I have a special deal with God. Get this. God does not make special deals. You cannot think that it's okay for you to sin in this area and God says, that's all right, you've got a special deal. You have a special dispensation. It doesn't work like that. It is very persuasive. How about this one? I'll do it just this once and not again. Or maybe I'll do it just one more time and not again. It's very persuasive. Speaking of persuasive, number four, it will come repeatedly. Temptation will come repeatedly. It's not a one-time shot. This woman does not give up. It will come repeatedly. And she spoke to Joseph day after day. I'll go ahead and tell you, temptation will wear you down. You'll get to the point where you think, I held on as long as I could. And maybe somebody's putting pressure on you. Maybe it's a boyfriend. Maybe it's a girlfriend. Maybe it's society. I don't know what it is. But you feel a great deal of pressure. And my question is, what are you going to do about it? Can you really say no? Well, look now at how to actually deal with it on the back of your outline. Got about 14 minutes and 4 points, and we'll get out on time. So how do I deal with sexual temptation? Number one, I must choose not to give in. And what you're writing is so important. I must choose not to give in. And I want you to circle a word that you just wrote. Circle the word choose. I must choose not to give in. Notice what Scripture says, but he refused. He would not listen to her, to lie beside her, and notice, or to be with her. Be with her. He refused. And what I want you to see here is you have a choice. There's a thing called the principle of prior commitment. And you have to make choices in your life, and it's better to make those choices before you get to the heat of the moment. And you need to say today that I, at this moment, am going to make some choices so when the pressure is on, I have already decided what I'm going to do. Because have you found out in life that you're either going to run your life by your plans or by your glands? Have you found that out? And if you wait until everything in your body, all your blood is pumping and the hormones are raging, and then you decide that, hey, I think at this point I'm going to make a decision whether to be sexually pure or not, I don't think you're going to make a wise choice at that point. The principle of prior commitment, you've got to choose now. There are things that I will do, there are things that I won't do, and I'm going to make those decisions right now. Now, the one question I'm asked by teenagers a lot, how far can you go? How far can you go? Now, that's a wrong question. It's really, how holy can I get? And the real deal is, how much do I love God? But they always press me. You know, buddy, tell us, how far can we go? So this is what I always say. Are you ready? You don't pull up, you don't pull down, you don't unbutton, you don't unzip, you don't lay down, you keep your hands to yourself, and you keep your tongue in your own mouth. You got that? Do you got that? All right, y'all want to hear it one more time, or did you get it? You don't pull up, you don't pull down, you don't unbutton, you don't unzip, you don't lay down, you keep your hands to yourself, and you keep your tongue in your own mouth. Now, some of you are going, well, man, that's pretty restrictive. Well, any time that we begin to talk about sex, and what is sex anyway, we need to broaden our definition of sex. And just listen to this. Sex is any sexual touching or even communication with the intention of arousal. It is physical contact for the purpose of arousal. That's what sexual intercourse is. And that's what blows me away when so many people can go and do just about and do everything and say, well, we haven't had sexual intercourse. And say, well, you know, I'm still a virgin. No, you're not. Because you have already shared so many intimate things in your life, even though you may not have biologically had some kind of sexual intercourse. You got to choose not to give in. Very quickly, how can a young man or woman keep his or her way pure? By guarding it according to your word, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You've got to be willing to do what God says. See, go back to what Paul said in our introductory thing. This isn't, some of you are going to think, well, we've misnamed this whole thing. You know, all my little titles have TV titles. This should be called my big, fat, obnoxious chapel speaker. I know that. But this really isn't about me. This is about what God's word says. And the real commitment is, I'm going to do what God says. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. It's your choice. That's what you've got to do. You've got to come up to the point where you realize it's your choice. Those of you that are married, and I know that perhaps a student or two may be, but I know that we have many of our faculty here. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled. You got to take seriously your vows. I won't spend a lot of time there because we have so few married people in here, but when you stood before a pastor or even a judge and you said, till death shall separate us, that was a covenant, and it really doesn't matter what else happens. You are to keep that covenant, and you're not to worry about whatever else somebody else may have, or maybe you married the wrong person. Let me tell you, when you get married, that person is your one and only for life. Enough said there. Well, number two, I must call a sin a sin. I must call a sin a sin. If I choose not to give in, and I make a commitment to God's word, number two, I must call a sin a sin. Notice what Joseph says. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, once you begin to develop a healthy attitude about God, God's word, sex, sexuality, the whole bit, I think you can come back to where Joseph is. He sees this as a great wickedness. See, we don't call it adultery. We call it an affair. We don't call it fornication. We call it hooking up. We don't call it a perversion. We call it an alternative lifestyle. And yet the Bible says we've got to be willing to call sin, sin. And notice he says, it is against God. That brings a whole different dimension to your life. I live my life before God. Everything I do before the audience of one, and that is God. God's word says, you shall not commit adultery. We'll talk about what that means tomorrow. For God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulteress. The whole idea is this here. When you decide that you're going to have sexual contact outside of what God says, you are abusing the special privilege that is meant only for a husband and wife in marriage. Number three, I need to ask myself, is it really worth it? I need to ask myself, is it really worth it? Notice what Joseph says here. Speaking of his master, he says, is he not greater in this house than I? He is not greater in this house than I am. He says, this guy treats me as an equal. Nor has he kept anything back from me except yourself, because you're his wife. He's basically counting the cost. He says, not only will I sin against God, he says, I'll lose everything here. Let me say this. I want you, if you are thinking about or maybe even involved in some kind of sexual sin, think about the consequences. Get somewhere and just begin to list some of these things. Scripture says, then desire when it's conceived gives birth to sin, and sin when it's fully grown gives birth to death. The idea is this, it keeps growing and growing. You don't sin and get away with it. There are always consequences to sin. There are all kinds of STDs. Of course, pregnancy, emotional scarring, loss of self-respect. There are all kinds of statistics I'd like to share with you, but here are just a few. There's a book by Dr. Meg Meeker called Epidemic, How Teen Sex is Killing Our Kids. Here are just a few lowlights from this book. Every day, 8,000 teens in America will become affected with a new STD. Those are the ones that are diagnosed, and she says that many more are undiagnosed. 8,000 every day. Nearly one out of every four sexually active teens is living with a sexually transmitted disease. An estimated one in five Americans over the age of 12 is infected with herpes. Nationwide, gonorrhea rates are highest among young women between ages 15 and 19. Chlamydia is the most commonly reported sexually transmitted disease in the U.S. Nearly half of the 3 million cases that occur each year are between teens ages 15 to 19. Suicide is the third leading cause of death among young people 15 to 24. She calls that the emotional STD. The reason she says that is an emotional STD is because teenagers, young adults, have been told, listen, sex is no big deal, but after you give yourself sexually, you realize it is a big deal. It is who you are. And once you give that away, you realize how you have cheapened yourself. And that's why teen depression and teen suicide and young adult suicide is so high, because you realize you've given yourself. You need to count the consequences, and they can be deadly. Last thing is this. I need to run from the temptation. I need to run from the temptation. Now, you can do all these things in order to say no. You make that commitment to God's word. You ask yourself, is it really worth it? And finally, you can just run from it. Notice, she called him by the garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. Sometimes what you have to say, and I know you're writing the last thing, but I've got 3 minutes, just listen. Sometimes what you have to say is, I'm out of here. The way that you have to deal with sexual temptation is, I'm not going to that party. I'm not dating you anymore. It may mean that you quit your job. It may mean that you change a class. It may mean that you talk to somebody, report somebody, change your school. But there comes a time where you just have to say, I will not put myself there anymore. Now, one of the things I have not addressed today, but I will tomorrow much further, and that is pornography. Pornography is rampant everywhere, and I'm sure it's here at Union, especially among the guys. And I know that there's filters here, but let's face it, it doesn't take much to get around the filters here. We're going to talk about that, but some of you guys need to go ahead and begin to think, you know, there's got to be a way that I've got to run from this. I've got to get somebody to help me in this. Some of you just need to say, I am ready. Notice what Scripture says. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. You've got to guard your mind. Sometimes you've got to walk out on that movie. You've got to turn off the TV. You've got to take that TV rental back. You've got to get off the internet. You've got to run. You don't arouse a desire you can't righteously fulfill. It's a pretty costly thing. Did it cost Joseph? Yeah, because when he ran, she had her coat and said, hey, he tried to rape me, and he ended up in prison. Was that costly? You bet it was. But go home and read the rest of this. God was still with him and honored him even in prison, but it did cost him. But it was worth it. See, when we say no to sexual temptation, it is not no forever. It is no for now. So I can enjoy what God intended, one man, one woman, for life. In conclusion, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Satan tries to tell you what you're going through is without parallel. No one has ever been tempted like you. You've told yourself, no one would blame me if I give in to this. And God says, I am with you, I am faithful, and I will always give you a way out. Today I'm asking you to look to God and ask him to give you that way out. I'd like for us to pray together. Tomorrow we're going to talk about getting back on track and some purity, but today let me just suffice it to say this. For some of you, you're going, buddy, this was okay, but it's too late. And I've messed up, and it's a long time ago. I want to ask you to ask God to forgive you. Perhaps you have. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.